This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We hear from the British journalist stalked by TikTok. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. For the first time in an exclusive broadcast interview for the BBC, a British journalist has described what she says was the chilling moment she discovered she had been tracked by TikTok. Four staff based in Beijing and the US accessed the account of journalist Christina Cradle last summer to try to identify her sources for a story. Now, working for the Financial Times, she's been talking about her experience to the BBC's technology editor, Zoe Kleinman.
It was just really, really chilling and horrible and personally quite violating. So 2 days before Christmas, I got a call from the TikTok press officer and she called me up and she said, as a courtesy, I think you should look at the New York Times. So I went onto the New York Times and I saw the story and that's how I found out what had happened to me, that I'd been tracked.
And how did you feel when you looked at that news article?
It was just shocking. I was kind of scrolling through it quickly to see what kind of personal information they'd accessed, who was behind it all. I know that they used my location data to try and identify my sources, and I know that it was two staff in China and two staff in the US who were behind it. They've now left the company, but what really struck me was that TikTok has always maintained that access to user data from China would be really restricted and limited, and yet this happens.
Your TikTok account wasn't Christina Cradle Financial Times, was it? It was a personal account.
It was my personal account on my personal mobile. And actually, I just wanted to test out the features of TikTok because I write about it. I think it's important to use the platform, use the editing tools. But I didn't really want to make videos of myself. So I used my cat, Buffy. It was kind of shocking to me that two random employees in China, two random employees in the US managed to find a TikTok account that wasn't in my name of my cat to try and use that for something that was to do with my job.
But this was on your personal phone, wasn't it? So in theory, potentially, it was also while you were out meeting friends, meeting family, you know, going to the park.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no telling when I'm at work. You know, it can be quite flexible. I can meet sources in the evening or on the weekend. So if my location was being monitored 24/7, that's not just limited to my actions at work, which it wouldn't be okay even if it was, but this was in my personal life as well.
That was Financial Times journalist Christina Cradle. TikTok's parent company ByteDance, which has admitted to the data breach, said it deeply regrets what happened and that the employees have been fired. Now, let's take a look at the markets. Gold prices are nearing an all-time high as US banking concerns have accelerated a move towards what's considered a safe asset. European stocks trimmed their worst weekly decline in seven on other business busy days of earnings. Adidas gained after the sportswear company's first quarter results beat estimates, although it has said the ending of its collaboration with Kanye West is hurting the business. $5 billion, that's how much is being spent on a project to upgrade the information that gets fed into weather forecasting supercomputers. Now the first images have been released from Europe's newest weather satellite, Meteosat-12, which sits around 35,000 kilometres above the equator. The satellite is expected to improve warnings of imminent violent storms. The BBC science correspondent Jonathan Amos has been taking a look at the new pictures.
The new spacecraft is replacing 20-year-old technology, and it shows. The pictures are so much sharper than what's gone before, and the weather agencies across Europe say this will enable them to see the small-scale features that could rapidly develop extreme conditions. There'll also be a specialist detector for lightning. Weather satellite systems cost billions to develop and operate, but that cost is dwarfed by the value of more accurate weather forecasting in preventing loss of life, infrastructure damage, and economic disruption.
Jonathan Amos reporting. Now, tomorrow is a day of splendour and formality here in the UK with the coronation of King Charles III. He'll be wearing the famous crown jewels, which are usually kept in the Tower of London. People are flooding into London and camping out to get a good viewing spot.
If it rains, I've got lots of layers. I've got my waterproofs. I've got an umbrella. I'll be fine.
I'm roughing it, but I've made friends with a British woman who has a tent, so I'm going to be sharing a tent with her.
On the money side, there are approximately 27 billion coins currently circulating in the UK bearing the effigy of the late Queen Elizabeth. But that's about to change. New coins have started to circulate with the King's image on them. The BBC's Adam Shaw has been given exclusive access to the Royal Mint where they're being made.
Today, they are making commemorative £2 coins. So these will be very popular, they think, for the coronation. Can I just pick that up? Okay. This, what I'm holding here, is a very highly polished, it looks gold ring. It is actually solid silver, but that's the outside of the £2 coin. So I'm going to put that down. I think they're probably going to check my pockets when I leave. And I'm just picking up here the very highly polished silver insert. And the insert goes inside the gold ring. Put that back. It goes in the machine. Bit of blasted air to clean it. Around 100 tons of pressure, and out comes the coin. Can I just... There we are. That is... It's not even warm. That is the freshest coin I will ever hold. The Flying Scotsman 1923 to 2023 special edition £2 coin. And I saw the bits, and they're now fused together. But I'll have to give it back.
Adam Shaw there. And if you have any friends or family in London over the weekend, they'll be hearing the voices of the new King and Queen on the London Underground.
My wife and I wish you and your families a wonderful coronation weekend.
Wherever you are travelling, we hope you have a safe and pleasant journey.
And remember, please mind the gap.
Some good health and safety advice there. And if you fancy yourself as a bit of a royalist, there's going to be lots of coronation coverage on BBC News over the weekend. And that's it for today. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Hamson for producing. Somas Aslan on the tech. Joe Critcher is our editor. And I'm Leanna Byrne with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great weekend.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.